Broadcasting from behind the Second Amendment Iron Curtain in the shadows of the New York City skyline, this is Gun for Hire Radio, the voice of 1 million New Jersey gun owners, with your hosts, Sandy Berardi and Master Firearms Trainer, Anthony Calandra.
The gathering place for over 1 million freedom-loving gun owners, the most listened to Second Amendment broadcast in the nation. Welcome to it.
And guess who is in the studio today?
The great one, Evan Knappen.
Doing his live action law seminar at the Woodland Park Range again.
Live action law seminar. What is that about?
Hello, gentlemen. Oh, I'm happy to be here. We really get into the weeds, man.
Wow,
it
nice.
Is well, yeah, an intensive experience where we go through all New Jersey gun laws, and everyone who takes this course just gets their mind expanded, and they get a genuine understanding of what we're dealing with here. And it's a mess.
Mm-hmm. Now, before we go through the 800 questions that people have emailed us for you, what do you want to talk about? What's hot? What's not? What's going on? Any cases you want to weigh in on or tell us anything going on federally? Nationally, state-wise, hit us.
All right. Well, the hottest, newest one that just came out is the case out of Texas ending the prohibition on the interstate transfer of handguns.
Eric Holder. Go ahead.
So
I'm
that
sorry.
Right, Eric Holder got an injunction against him, so that individuals can buy handguns out of their state of residence in the same manner that you purchase, you know, rifles and shotguns now, as long as the dealer, you know, obeys the law of the home state in your state. This way, like, for example, your Jersey resident, the gun shows this weekend in Pennsylvania. If you bring your pistol purchase permit over there, the dealer, you know, would be allowed to sell you a handgun following Jersey law and Pennsylvania law, arguably. Now, you can't do that just yet because although the case was a victory, there may be appeals and who knows how it shakes out. But at this point, it's a wonderful win based on the Second Amendment, and the court knocked it out of the park and said it's unconstitutional both under intermediate scrutiny and strict scrutiny, you know, under the constitutional standards. And what makes it really very exciting is this is now the edges are beginning to crack away on the 68 Gun Control Act. This is a direct slam on the 68 gun control. So we're getting the cracks. We're getting the, you know, piece by piece, we're going to take this thing down. And this is a step in that direction. That's a solid win. And congratulations to Alan Gura doing a great job there. You know, awesome. So there
SAF
you go.
SAF again.
Yeah, SAF did it, funded it. And it involved Texas out there, in which a couple from D.C. wanted to buy a handgun in D.C. Just to get the handgun there. It's a $125 transfer fee, just a transfer fee. And they don't really have a gun shop out there, you know, just a guy doing the transfer. And so it limits interstate. And that also helped create the injury. It was very well designed with the plaintiffs in this case to really demonstrate the problem.
Yeah,
good stuff.
What is it like? Is it just a guy in a closet somewhere in City Hall where you
basically, from my understanding, that's what it is, and I guess he's got an FFL. But you know, if you're a DC resident, you don't have some full stock gun shop with all kinds of models. You can't do. Basically, you got to find it somehow, get it transferred in.
Oh my God!
And it's a big pain in the neck. So,
or you could go down to the corner.
We're talking about legal. That's not a problem.
Yeah, but it was the other way around. It was supposed to stop illegal guns, but it stopped legal guns. Boy, the government gets that wrong a lot.
It's kind of funny. The government does seem to be confused many times about things that they like to enforce and things they don't like to enforce.
Exactly.
Things that seem blatantly illegal and a problem for a country and they don't care about. And then other stuff, you know, when it comes down to the nitty-gritty, little nitpicky, they want to bust your chops on that little thing.
Yeah.
But then, of course, whatever that is, they're usually the bigger offender. Like, you know, they want to stop gun, but they're
fast
the ones with Fast and Furious. You know, they want to look at paperwork and, you know, that you lost your gun. Yeah, but, you know, ATF lost how many guns? This is the kind of stuff. You know,
If you lose it by the tractor trailer load, you're okay.
No shortage of hypocrisy, no shortage of illogic, no shortage of holier than thou.
Yes,
it's just amazing. It is amazing.
It's crazy.
Mm-hmm.
It's crazy. So what do you think about, for our listeners not in the in the beautiful state of New Jersey, what about what's going on with the state police wanting to change the guidelines on everything? I know you're intimately into this.
Very much so. What happened was state police promulgated their new administrative code. I was proud to do analysis and write up for the New Jersey State Association challenges to the provisions that were particularly distressing and outside of their promulgation authority. And a lot of folks, and I thank everyone out there who took the time to send an email complaining about it. There's a number of issues there. I'll just highlight a few of the really important ones. One of which is the idea of expanding the ability for the issuing authority to get additional information. Mm. That's a specifically prohibited, statutorily banned thing for them to do, and it's why we end up with these localities with all these extra forms and all these intrusive
questions. This just opens
questions.
The door.
And after winning two cases, our firm, Perez and McGovern, shutting down Passaic and
Jersey City
for their illegal acts, of which Mayor, I'm going to appeal this, I'm going to appeal. No
yeah.
appeal.
Yeah.
No appeal.
Yeah.
Done. Because he didn't have a leg to stand on,
right.
Full of hot air. No appeal. That's now the standard there. They cannot do it. If they're doing it, we moved for criminal charges in our original, and the court said, well, they weren't on notice. Down there. They try it now. I swear you can look very seriously at criminal charges. And along comes a staple, oh, we want to allow them to answer more. Based on what?
Gotcha.
And it's completely
right.
contrary to the
right.
law. No way. We don't need some patchwork quilt of all these municipalities seeing what they can pull out of their butts to ask and harass gun owners to discourage them from getting firearms. Because that's what it's all about. It's creating
Correct.
A system of application harassment. And the state law
I
was,
love him.
And the state law was completely clear on this subject to the degree that the appellate division of New Jersey twice has said it. How many more times they got to say it? Cut it out.
Now, what makes this? What gives the state police the authority to come up with this? These recommendations.
Well, the state
How
police,
does this happen?
They're the administrative authority. They do have authority to do regs, but they have to do the regs based on law that they're interpreting. And you can't take law that says don't do that, and we interpret it to say you can do that. I think you messed up that, guys. And then, and then you have a number of other things that
we're
happy to talk about.
Back.
Yeah, that are serious. Sure.
You know, if I wasn't married, I'd ask you to have my baby.
For over 20 years, attorney Evan Knappen has seen what rotten laws do to good people. That's why he's dedicated his life to fighting for the rights of New Jersey gun owners. A fearsome courtroom litigator, one of the first lawyers to ever get a federal injunction against a state gun law. An unrelenting gun rights spokesman, tearing away at the anti-gun propaganda to expose the truth. Author of 5 best-selling books on gun rights, including Knappen on New Jersey Gun Law. The bright orange gun law Bible that sits atop the desk of virtually every lawyer, police chief, firearms dealer, and savvy gun owner in New Jersey. That's what's made Evan Knappen New Jersey's gun lawyer. New Jersey gun laws are designed to make you a criminal. Don't become the victim of New Jersey's vicious anti-gun legal system. This is the guy you want on your side. Keep his name and phone number on a post-it note attached to your New Jersey firearms ID card in your wallet, and hope you'll never have to use it. But if you live, work, or travel through New Jersey with a firearm, the deck is already stacked against you. Keep his number with you always. You can find him on the web at evannappen.com, or take the link from the Gun for Hire radio resource page. Evan Knappen, New Jersey's gun lawyer.
Becoming a dangerous place for us women. Lipstick Bodyguard looks just like an innocent little lipstick, but it'll instantly drop any attacker to his knees so you can get away unharmed.
Valentine's Day is a celebration of love. And what better way to say I love you than giving the ones you love a gift to keep them safe? Lipstick Bodyguard. It looks just like a beautiful little lipstick, but just like a beautiful woman, it has the power to bring a grown man to his knees.
Lipstick Bodyguard. Fear no evil. Get yours today, only at LipstickBodyguard.com.
Your Valentine will love you for it. Hurry and order early.
And this segment is brought to you by Waldorf Chiropractic, WALDORFCHIRO.com. Waldorf Chiropractic is in Bridgewater, New Jersey. If you or anyone you know is within a 30-mile radius, please let them know about it and check out the doctor. We need you to support those who support us. So Waldorf Chiropractic on Facebook and WaldorfChiropractic.com. Check them out and thank Dr. Eric for supporting us. So, Evan, give us some more of these horrible things that the state police are drafting.
Righteous
up.
Indignation.
All right. Well, the other thing they're doing is they proposed that dealers, when they retire, have to keep their certificates of eligibility, meaning the forms filled out for rifle and shotgun, forever.
Illegal. No.
Yes.
Way.
Forever. Now, I don't know of any record keeping. Forever. I mean, you don't even keep IRS records forever. And they have to keep their
in
records.
Perpetuity. What about perpetuity?
And here's the kicker. This is not me speculating why they want this. They actually stated in the proposal that we need to do this because New Jersey has no system of registration of rifles and shotguns.
Oh.
So they essentially have admitted that they want to mandate this ridiculous criteria to de facto have a rifle and shotgun registration.
Unbelievable.
Of which registration is voluntary in New Jersey.
Yeah.
And they go and even say that's the reason. It's not even like Knappen's being paranoid. No, they said it. It's because Jersey doesn't have registration. We need to have registration. This is how we're going to make it happen.
Unbelievable.
Great. So there's another good one
God.
There.
Wow.
Then there's another one that's particularly, you know, we have talked on this show any number of times about New Jersey's seized but not returned statute. When a person has had firearms pursuant to domestic violence, seized but not returned, that person is prohibited in the same 39-7 as a convicted felon, only it's a third degree instead of a second, but you're in the same, and it's a licensing disqualifier under 58-3, so that you can't get a license if you've had guns seized and not returned. And the fact is that folks all the time have this issue where the TRO is dismissed and they want to get their gun back, and maybe it's only a $50 gun or whatever, and they say, hey, how about you just sell it through a dealer, you know, or let it go. You do that, or you just give it up because you don't care about it. You now have permanently lost your gun rights under seized but not returned. So this law has been on the book for 10 years, and it becomes a trap for folks. But here's the kicker. In 10 years, the state police have failed to put on the application the question, have you ever had firearms seized and not returned? Never, as not on the certificate of eligibility, not on any handgun application, rifle, shotgun card, firearm, nothing, nowhere do you find this question, but it is the law, and then it gets enforced after the fact when people are fooled. And let me say something. I don't
And then
like
did
this
they
law.
Go back and say, then you lied on your application?
Well, no, here's the deal. No, they don't ask it on the app, but here's the kicker. Yeah, well, then they can come back and deny you for it when they pick up on it, even though they didn't ask. But here's the kicker. I don't like this law. This law shouldn't be on the books. But if this law, because it is a disqualifier, was actually asked on the application, then all
You'd
of the
be
folks
telegraphing.
Right now listening to your show would say, gee, I know about that, because they filled out a certificate of eligibility.
Right,
right now they're saying, what is he talking about?
Right.
Unless they because the fact is, it's an education as to who's prohibited and who isn't. They want to keep it secret. That's all I can think, because they set you up. Folks don't go fighting to get their guns back. They don't realize they have
And they make it as difficult as they can.
Right, and you would think, please tell me how the state police fails to put, for 10 years, that question on the app, because they don't want people to know about it.
Is it like the White House blind stupidity? Complete?
Now let's fast forward to this administrative code. They re-promulgated in the administrative code the seized but not returned disqualifier.
Wow.
And I said, you can't do that. You know why? Because for 10 years you've ignored it. It's not on any application. How dare you promulgate it? You sure don't believe in it. Why are you writing it? You don't use it.
Right.
It just get rid of it. Take it off. And of course, in the alternative, how about a positive statement that it will appear on every application and form? And then our people will know about it, and they won't roll over and give away their guns simply because they were seized by the state. And that's their gambit. They know that if people become aware of this and they know about this, they're going to fight it every time. And the dockets are going to grow in the court. And they're not going to be able to just walk over everybody.
Oh, yeah, you don't even think about that.
Because when you know your gun rights are at stake, so you'll come in for that $50 H&R topper that you thought you just let the state keep.
Right.
But you realize it turns you to the equivalent of a convicted felon. Maybe you want that gun back.
Yeah, maybe now you're spending a couple $1,000 to go through legal fees, go through the procedure, taking a day off of work in the whole bit.
Because it's your rights that are at stake.
Right, it's not just that $50 gun.
And then later, when you decide to go hunting and your buddy lends you his gun and you get stopped for a minor fishing game and they find out about your seized but not returned $50 topper,
you're ineligible.
Then you're looking at 5 years in state's prison.
Wow.
Oh, but no one told me this. I know, no one had to. It's not even on the application forms. I know, isn't that amazing? Why is that? How do I? Doesn't matter. See you in 5 years.
Only in New Jersey.
Right.
Only
so that's another problem.
What else?
Well, the list goes on. There's been something very interesting that has happened for a while in Jersey and really shouldn't. And that is many of you may have gotten a handgun purchase permit. And on it, it says, and form of register. Right? Yep. It says it right on there, right?
Yeah. Right
form of Well, gee, where did that come from? Because when you look at 58.3, it doesn't say anything about form of register. It says it's a permit that's supposed to be in quadruplet, and it's just to buy, and it doesn't even say you have to sign it.
Right.
What is that? Well, when you go to 58.2, you see that there's this other thing, excuse me, called the form of register. And the form of register is prepared in triplicate. And the form of register is provided to the dealer, not the applicant. And the form of register actually gets filed at different places and not other places. It's actually an entirely different animal.
Wow.
But the state police, realizing that for years, somehow the quadruple permit filed in the wrong places becomes the form of register and the handgun permit, has decided to try to formalize that by making sure that every time the handgun purchase permit is referenced anywhere in the reg, it's handgun purchase permit and form of register. And I pointed out, you can't combine them. As a matter of fact, what you've been doing shouldn't have been done for all these years at all. And look, whether you like this law or not, follow it.
Right.
The form of register is what dealers get, and you're supposed to provide it to them, and they have a whole separate criteria under a separate statute of what they have to do. The permit to purchase is an entirely separate thing. And there's no law that combines them, and doing it by administrative...
Now, how long have they been doing that?
Years. 20. And look, it illustrates a very serious problem, that these forms that they've been using and all are not in conformance with the law. And you may say, well, why make a big deal about that? Because you know what? I got clients that get charged on these forms, charged on these applications, charged on these things. If they're not right by the state, they shouldn't be criminally guilty of anything. If the state couldn't get their act together in the first place, and now they want to retroactively justify their errors and mistakes that they would crucify us if we made.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Well, there you go. Not good.
I love it.
Not happening.
Give us some more. Piss everybody off.
You want me to piss everybody off?
Yeah, get everybody riled up.
Okay. Well, there still are other problems, and let me see what else comes to mind. I wish I had it in front of me because
it was such a long list.
Well,
I did send it to you, but anyway. It's
I have it handy.
No, it's okay. No, you don't have to look at it. Let's go.
You pulled them out of a live seminar.
I mean, there's plenty. Yeah, good grief.
That's all right.
I did pull me out of that.
All right, listen, a couple of things. This was from during Evan's class. I think it was from Chris Kent. I'm not sure now. I'm making stuff up as I go along. During Evan's class, I swear he told us it is legal to have a Kel-Tec Sub 2K or other rifle inside a vehicle if unloaded in a locked case with empty magazines, even with ammo in the same case at all times within the state of New Jersey, not just to and from a target range. My conversations with various police officers I respect indicated they would make an arrest if they found out about the weapons during a lawful search or if the vehicle was stolen with them in it, even if the rifle was in the trunk. Can you please ask Evan to clarify?
Well, we're going to have basically, to wait till we come back from the break because we're coming right up on
sure,
it. But
no
that's
problem.
Insane.
I'll be happy to address that.
That is absolutely insane. Well, then, I'm not going to say that I drive around with that rig in the car. The napping rig.
Bring it on. I'll tell you all about the napping rig.
Coming right back.
For many people, walking into a range the first time, it's quite intimidating. So when you walk in through the double doors, the first thing you'll see on your left is a concierge. When people walk in, they can take a tour of the range, or maybe they're coming in for an appointment with one of my instructors or me, and they'll be directed to the right classroom. It kind of softens the entire experience. It makes people feel more at home. As you walk further into the range, you're going to notice we have New Jersey's only indoor 50-yard range, which is heated and air-conditioned. The dividers at each port are bulletproof. They're extra-wide ports so two people can stand side-by-side and shoot. There's lights in the ports, so you're well-lit. We also have three times as much light downrange that the average range would have because I believe it's important that the targets are well-lit. Our target retrieval system is all digital. You program how many feet you want to send it out, and it stays there. Both of our ranges are tactically baffled, which means when we run our higher level courses, you can move forward to the firing line and shoot in any direction, and bullets can't escape. When you come out of the 50-yard range, to your left, you'll see our large classroom, and go back up to the concierge and make a right, we have two smaller classrooms. And those classrooms are for small one-on-one classes, our Build-A-Bear, building an AR. As you enter through there, you'll see that we have a portal with a key to go into our Platinum Lounge. They can sit around and watch TV on the leather chairs or couches, and they can maybe work deals with their clients. And you normally don't see a cafe in an indoor range. In New Jersey, we have this archaic law where you're only supposed to go from your house to the range to the house with no unnecessary deviations. I'm seeing a lot more families coming in now where they have multiple kids and the wife will stay in the cafe with one or two kids and they'll do a handoff. To me, it's very important that people are treated like family, so the bathrooms are very high-end. We used marble and Corian and really nice tile and full-length dividers so that people are comfortable when they come in. When you exit the bathroom, you'll see the Gun for Hire radio studio where Sandy and I tape our show. After you pass that and you make a left, you'll notice our retail area. Over 120 firearms for rent. As you turn 180 degrees, you see the large sections of bulletproof glass. That's our 25-yard range. And inside our 25-yard range, we have 13 ports. Those ports are even wider than the 50-yard range. Both ranges have full-time range safety officers. In case you have any questions or concerns, they're there to help you.
No rules, no apologies, no holding back. Gun for Hire Radio, the most listened to Second Amendment broadcast in the nation. 4 years running.
Freedom.
This segment is brought to you by Montville Executive Suites. Their website is montvilleoffice.com. Montville Executive Suites features 38 furnished private offices, telephone answering, mail receiving, forwarding, meeting rooms, and the ability to hold seminars and events for up to 70 people. Visit montvilleoffice.com or their Facebook page is Montville Executive Suites for more information. For as little as $58 a month, you can have a professional presence in a beautiful office park. So, and support Ron Sousa because he is the man. So go ahead. The question was the Kel-Tec. You talk about this all the time. We refer to it as the napping rig. Go ahead.
Okay. Let's be clear. First of all, I have no doubt that police will falsely arrest you for anything, and then we can sue them after.
Yeah, exactly.
Now, the fact is, when you take the course, you particularly understand this.
Yes.
That New Jersey's gun law, when it comes to long arms, specifically says under 2C39-5, subsection C, that no person shall possess any rifle or shotgun unless having first obtained a New Jersey firearm purchaser ID card. And if you've obtained that ID card, you can possess your rifle and shotgun. The second part says you can't have it loaded unless otherwise permitted by law, which means you can have an unloaded rifle and shotgun in your possession with a firearms ID card. You're done. That's it. Because
you can walk into the A&P with it.
You sure could. You could drive down the street with your unloaded,
unloaded
rifle or shotgun hanging out the window.
Waving it at people.
Waving, well, not pointing it at people, but waving, you know. But you're not in violation of New Jersey's gun law if you do. I'll tell you one thing that you would you could do. You could have one of those wonderful redneck
gun racks,
truck
yeah,
gun
yeah,
racks
yeah,
and
yeah.
have your long arm in there on that rack. As long as it's unloaded, you're good with a firearms ID card. Because you don't have to reach the exemptions. You don't have to worry about subsection G of 39.6 where the gun has to be cased unloaded, not readily accessible. By, none of that matters.
Yeah.
Because you have the license, you see.
Right.
And that's the difference. So the police that allegedly told him this are, I believe the word is, wrong. And I have put this information in my book, and it's how our licensing system works. And that's the problem when it comes to handguns. Because the handgun ban says any person who has in possession any handgun, including antique handgun, without having first obtained a permit to carry that handgun.
Ah.
And so most of our folks out there don't have permit to carry. They are reliant upon, or anyone with a handgun in New Jersey is reliant upon, the exemptions.
Right. Even a handgun in your home.
Right. And the exemptions are narrow. The exemptions say cased, unloaded, not really accepted. All those things in the subsection G, and you're stuck to either E or F, meaning in your home or going to the target range or hunting. And it's very narrow, very restricted. And the burden of proof's on you to prove you're within the exemption. But why is that? Because you don't have the license. And you can't get the damn license either.
Right, exactly.
But with a firearms ID card, we got the license. You don't have to go to the exemptions.
Mm-hmm.
And understanding this dynamic is understanding New Jersey's gun law. These police supposedly that he talked to plainly don't understand it. I do. I don't think anyone doubts that I understand it. So this is how it works.
Okay, we cleared that up. I got another question.
And also why I carry a photocopy of
right, that 2C code.
This is from Mike Resinetti, a Gun for Hire alumni going way back. I have a question for Mr. Knappen. When submitting the carry application, form SP-642, it says to complete in triplicate. My question is, does page 2, the references signatures, need to be an original on all copies or just your signature? I have always submitted my app with 2 photocopies of page 2 with my original signatures and notarization at the bottom and had no problems. My brother, however, is being told he needs original reference signatures on all 3 copies.
Well, this is so hyper-technical and silly, I've never encountered it. But I'll tell you what, if they attempted to deny the client when he had authorized originals, and these were the triplicates, and it, but does it have his original signature on all 3?
Yes.
I can't imagine why that would be a problem, but you know, if you're able to do it in compliance, then why make an issue of it? But I feel, but it's not as if there's some New Jersey statute that specifies this.
Gotcha.
So they're just pulling it out of their butt as usual. But is a judge really going to say, I'm sorry, you're two in triplicate, we're in originals, and we're going to dismiss? I mean, come on. You got originals here. It's the same app, and it's signed. What are we doing? But if you get them signed and you have it, so be it.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
All right. This is from Chris Kent. Ant, didn't think to ask this at the law seminar before, but all the recent weather-related accidents brought it to my mind. For Evan, what would you do if you had an accident while lawfully transporting firearms? What if your vehicle has to be towed, your firearms in the car, and the police are present? How would you handle that?
Okay, well, if your car has to be towed, you want to go with your vehicle as it's towed.
Okay.
That's one thing you want to do. If you can't be with the vehicle and they take it and your guns are in it, you're going to have to retrieve them, but you didn't make that happen. They did.
What if they put you in an ambulance?
Well, that's it. I mean, you're incapacitated. There's probably going to be an inventory search done. They're going to find the guns. Hopefully, either they're just unloaded long arms and you have a firearms ID card, or if they find your handgun, you were en route within the exemptions or you had a carry license. But as long as you're legal, and acquisition of the property will occur later. If it's illegal, or if they are not sure even, or if they just want to, you know, be ball busters, they could still charge you with your illegal possession upon the discovery of the firearms, and then you'll have the burden to prove that you were either licensed or within exemptions.
Gotcha. Wouldn't the tow truck driver be in violation of illegal possession at that point?
Well, he wouldn't be knowing possession because he's just towing the V. He didn't know what was in there.
Any impound guy. Well, now, who makes
the
inventory?
Once they found it, well, that depends. Often the police will do the inventory themselves. But if not, and it's just towed to a lot and the tow guys go in there. I mean, look, people get their vehicles towed and things disappear all the time.
All the time.
So
sure.
If your guns disappear, you better report them that, you know, they were in the vehicle, it got towed, and they're missing.
Now, would you advise the officer that there are firearms in that vehicle if they were towing it?
Would you advise? Well, it depends, first of all, if you're conscious and if the vehicle's taken away. But it does get to be a question. If you're lawfully in possession of the firearms and you're confident of that, then I don't see the harm in advising because you don't want to have them lost. It's a little bit of a balancing there.
Yeah.
But if there's any question about your being within exemptions, any question, and you're looking at unlawful firearm, you know, possession charges, you have a right against self-incrimination. You don't have to volunteer anything.
Mm.
So you may choose to remain silent there. That's a tough one. I get it, but you better know the law and make your decision wisely.
Another reason really to come to this seminar. In fact, I bumped into a guy who's Anthony trained him as a trainer, and he was saying, a lot of times people will say, and I'll say, this is a seminar you really should go to. This guy said, this is a necessity. If you're a gun owner, he said, I hadn't been to this. He said, and knowing this now, this is not something that you should just go to. This is a necessity if you own a gun in the state of New Jersey.
Unfortunately, it is because it's very precarious in terms of our ownership, and there's a lot of danger and pitfalls throughout the process of owning and possessing and using firearms in New Jersey, and the law is very counterintuitive. Look, I got case files after case files of otherwise law-abiding citizens ending up in trouble that never in their wildest dreams did they suspect. I can't tell you how many guys have my card in their pocket and say, I never thought I'd need this, but I was, and here I am calling you because I need it. And you know why they need it? Because they got tripped up in the wonderful world of New Jersey gun laws, which is extremely counterintuitive, dangerous. Things that you think are legal are illegal, and things that you think are illegal are legal. It makes no sense.
No.
There is no, it's terribly and poorly written. No one with any expertise ever put their hand to this and actually got it written. It's utterly politicized. It's contradictory. It's got to be the worst set of laws ever concocted by man.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just an absurdity. And we try to law abide within it, and it's extremely difficult, sometimes impossible, and sometimes it just aren't answers to the questions because the law just couldn't interpret where this might end up.
It's like the quote out of Ayn Rand, one of Ayn Rand's works, where, there will come a day when everything is made illegal, so we are all...
We're close.
We're pretty damn close.
I got Knappin's going to read the next question from Dan G. You want it? You got it, Knapp?
Well, we
got
to wait till right after.
When we come back.
I also want to sneak in something about for my neighbor about the Knappin rig and loaded magazines.
Everything I do gonna be funky from now on.
Time and memories. The two most precious things you can give someone. No cell phones, no video games, no electronic devices. No interruptions. Just your favorite gun, a couple boxes of ammo, and time spent together. The folks at Gun for Hire Woodland Park Range believe there's no time like the present, and no present like time. Step through their doors, and you'll feel time stand still. It may look like a luxury shooting range, but what they really sell is the perfect day. And perfect memories are made from perfect days. Gun for Hire Woodland Park Range. where family memories begin.
This segment is brought to you by me, Anthony Colangelo. Listen, before we go any further, before
what are you
I forget,
selling?
The NRA Board of Directors elections are coming up, and we're telling everybody bullet vote for Scott Bach and
Joe DeBurgelis and Scott Bach.
Joe DeBurgelis and Scott Bach, bullet vote, babies, bullet vote. Now it's really sponsored by Philly Gun Training, PHILLY, guntraining.com. Jose Morales has a place in Philly. Where, Sandy? Center City?
No, again. My God.
I can't laugh. It hurts.
On Spring Garden.
Oh, I thought you said Spring Lake.
Yeah, Spring Garden, yeah.
If right you want to learn how to
right
shoot
up from Northern Liberties.
Learn how to fill out your paperwork, handcuff, baton, mace, become an NRA instructor, take an NRA instructor course. Jose does the same thing we do up here.
He even got the lipstick bodyguards there for you, too, because he's the only one authorized to carry it in Pennsylvania.
Nice. So that's
I don't know why they authorized him.
I don't either.
You know.
You ready, Ev?
Dan
Grodovic?
Yes.
It
seems that the state's ignoring its own law. It says that it clearly states dealers should not knowingly deliver more than one handgun to any person within 30 days, but the limitation shall not apply to collector of handguns, curio and relics, etc., who has a valid collector of curio and relics license issued by BATF. So this would seem to negate the need for exemption forms. And I would agree that it does seem to negate the need for exemption forms. However, it doesn't negate the need for pistol purchase permits. So, you know, if you have a CNR and you're buying CNR firearms and you're buying them within the state of New Jersey, there is no exemption for you to not have pistol purchase permits. Mm. Mm. So I actually represented a guy who for 20 years had a CNR, and I advise folks against having a CNR in New Jersey because the state views it as an FFL and views you as acting as an unlicensed dealer, even though it's a collector license. I had a case on this where they raided my guy 20 years. He had everything perfect, luckily. He had only made 4 gun sales because they'll try to, you know, trades, only 4 out of the 20 or 25 years. But if you have these guns and are moving them, they're going to allege you're acting as a dealer. And there is no exemption from Jersey gun laws. Remember, the CNR just allows the interstate. And then it can get real sticky and tricky. It is true that with a curio and relic, you could go, let's say, to Pennsylvania and buy a CNR handgun that's arguably a modern handgun, but it's CNR, like a Luger, let's say.
Right.
And then you can transport it across state lines legally because federal law. Now you possess it lawfully in New Jersey, which you do by way of exemption. Let's say you're possessing it in your home. But the state police come along, and they're like, how did this get acquired? Like, well, I legally acquired it in another jurisdiction. Yeah, but now you have it in New Jersey. Well, yeah, I'm allowed because my possession here is only by way of exemption and my place of purchase was outside the jurisdiction of New Jersey, which is fine. But they didn't want to buy that. And with my client, they didn't want to. So they indicted him and charged him with unlawful acquisition. Then they alleged even his black powder handguns and all. And then that he had, it was just a huge mess. And all because he had it. Now, eventually, I beat every charge on motion to dismiss. At which time the state brought a superseding indictment. At which time I said to the judge who granted the motion to dismiss, you know, we're all for jury trials, right? We're all into that. Except in this case, I said, Judge, I'm waiving my jury trial. Now, you're damn right I am. I want to go in front of the same judge that just dismissed motion. And this way I have a trial and I get jeopardy so this BS can end for my client.
Yeah.
So the judge says, fine, we'll have a bench trial. The prosecutor objects. What do you mean? I want a jury. It's not your right to a jury trial, Mr. Prosecutor. And you know why he wanted a prosecutor? You know why You know why the prosecutor wanted a jury? Because he wanted 12 people, 12 dumbasses he could fool about guns.
Right.
Correct.
And that's
right.
why he
right.
wanted it.
Right.
Instead of a judge who is thoroughly knowledgeable and already studied the entire subject and knew my client was innocent as a matter of law.
And so already ruled in your favor.
Got a bench trial and complete acquittal. Damn right. But what was the source for all his trouble?
They go gunning
the CNR.
Oh,
the CNR. Because what happened was they sent in for inspection, and then the state police say, oh, you know, where's your state retail deal? I'm not a retail. Doesn't matter. You have a Fed FFL, but it's a collector FFL. But it doesn't matter. You're still a Fed. That sounds good.
Oh, man.
And next thing you know, he had all this trouble. And by the way, that was in Passaic County.
Yet, right in Bergen County, mm-hmm. last week we reported on the guy who came with Saddam Hussein's guns, who they got a slap on the wrist and deported him back to wherever the Pakistan or wherever the hell he came from. But that's fine. But if we have a CNR, our front door gets kicked in, the mm-hmm. zip lines from the SWAT team are heard in the middle of the night. And a flashbang in our bedroom, just because.
Well, there's always a flashbang in my bedroom.
I'm going to call Bev and ask. Right. All right, I got to sneak one in. Actually, if I can sneak in two, Ant, can I sneak two in? For my neighbor, the Napping Rig, loaded magazines. Can you carry loaded magazines inside the same container?
No, do not carry loaded because the alleged. That with the magazine loaded, the firearm is loaded since it's a part of the firearm.
Okay, because
so I would
structural.
Avoid that.
Okay,
you want to make sure the gun is unloaded because the two criteria, the criteria is have the license, and then you're good. You know, the firearm's ID card. You're good for any long arm unloaded as long as it's not a assault firearm. You know,
right.
But rifle or shotgun unloaded, your firearm's ID card covers. Part two under the 39.5C says you cannot have it loaded unless otherwise permitted by law. So the other permissions of law for loaded are things that are within exemption, but arguably if the stuff hits the fan and problem is problem, you could argue other things within law to load it, such as necessity, competing harms, things like that. And look, if your life's in danger and you got it, better to have it and not need it than need it and not have it. So this is the thing. So. But for the majority of, you know, the time you have it, you want to keep it unloaded and mags unloaded.
Okay.
But that being said, there's nothing that restricts you from having that with you, except in specifically prohibited places like in a school or a federal building, that kind of thing. But generally, nothing else. You have it in the car. Have it with you. That's your firearms ID card. Lets you have. And it doesn't have to be in a briefcase. Like I said, it could be unloaded in
on
a
the
rack
front seat,
and you're fine. And
then, in
and
a paper bag,
you'll probably be pulled over, stopped, questioned, and maybe even arrested. But the firearms ID card for the unloaded is legal, and that's what makes it legal.
Wow.
Yeah, that's the deal.
Second one. We're gonna get to. I guess. Well, maybe. We can do it right now. Maybe there's enough time. We only got about a minute.
We'll talk fast.
We were at the last gun show we went to. We were wandering around, and you were talking to me about a home defense shotgun.
Yes.
I think it was a Remington 870.
Though that and Mossberg 590.
Or a Mossberg. Yeah, okay.
Both. There are plenty of good defense shotguns
now,
out there.
You were talking about one that accepts a bayonet, that has a
although
bayonet.
Oh, that definitely was the Mossberg 590.
Mossberg 590.
Yes, the Mossberg 590 with all the whistles and bells is not an assault firearm in New Jersey because it is a pump action.
Nice.
Only semi-auto shotguns that have an offending feature can be an assault firearm.
You can have a retractable stock on the
So you can have a pump shotgun and put any intrinsically evil feature you wish.
Oh, that'd be wonderful.
Bayonets, guard, you know, those the barrel shrouds, you know, that shoulder thingy
the
that
shoulder
goes
thing,
up.
Yeah.
You can have one of them.
Wow.
Right? But anything, you know, folding stocks, flash suppressors, you name it. It's all legal. It's all good on a pump. It doesn't make it an assault firearm. It has to be a semi-auto.
Wow.
We
got to talk later. I need to get one of these.
They're awesome.
Oh, sweet.
Mm-hmm.
Excellent. And you said you had a bayonet you could give me.
Yeah, it takes an M7, the same bayonet that goes on your AR-15, goes right on the Mossberg. Get a nice Frobis M9, a nice big, thick, gooey blade on the end of there.
I want to tell you about my friend Katie. Katie is a nurse, and she was attacked on her way home from work. She was totally taken by surprise. And although Katie is only 5 feet tall, and 106 pounds. She was easily able to drop her 6'4", 250-pound attacker to his knees and get away unharmed. Katie wasn't just lucky that day. She was prepared. In her pocketbook, a harmless-looking lipstick, which really contained a powerful man-stopping aerosol propellant. It's not like it was in our grandmother's day. Today, just going to and from work or to the mall can have tragic consequences. The FBI says a violent crime is committed every 15 seconds in the United States, and a forcible rape happens every 5 minutes. And chances are, when something happens, no one will be around to help. It looks just like a lipstick, so no one will suspect a thing, which is important since experts say getting the jump on your attacker is all about the element of surprise. Inside this innocent-looking lipstick is the same powerful stuff used by police and the military to disarm even the most powerful armed aggressor. In fact, National Park Rangers use the very same formula that's inside this little lipstick to stop 2,000-pound vicious grizzly bears dead in their tracks. It's like carrying a personal bodyguard with you, in your purse or your pocket. Darkness brings danger. Muggers and rapists use darkness to their advantage. We all know what it's like to be walking at night and hear footsteps coming at us from behind. Who's there? If it's somebody bad, will you be protected? Your life may depend on it. My friend Katie's close call needs to be a wake-up call for all of us, myself included. Pick up a lipstick bodyguard and keep it with you always.
I'm feeling better. Thank you. I had surgery 15 days ago. Thank you all for everybody who, the well wishes, letters of support, emails, everything.
We're happy that you're feeling better, but. As an aside, it was nice.
I'm back on track.
I see that. Yeah.
As of this morning, I was 235 pounds. A year ago, I was 382.
You lost a human being.
I lost a lot. Yeah. Listen, here's a question. Ev, maybe you can answer this question, okay? From Kurt Andrews. We love this guy. Dear Anthony, I may be going to see my brother this summer in South Dakota. I would like to ask, how do I go about transporting my handgun for TSA regulations? I know you have got to have it in a hard case, unloaded, and locked. My question is, after I place it in a case, can I take the same case and place it inside my luggage bag and have it all checked? No. I was talking to someone, and they said it would be better to have it shipped out to my brother and pick it up there than to take it on the plane. What would you suggest to do if I want to travel with a handgun? He's not from New Jersey, by the way. He's from the Midwest, and he's going to be going to South Dakota. But just roughly, can you touch TSA?
As far as airline travel,
yes,
with firearm, number one is you got to check with the individual airline.
Always, before you fly.
But federal law has some interesting requirements. So you need to, the number one thing you need to do is you need to have it, of course, cased, locked case, no ammunition in it, okay, unloaded. But you need, this is the key thing, you need to declare it. Okay,
yes.
This is fundamental. And what I do when I fly with firearm, I go up to that check-in where I'm going to check in. You know, don't go anywhere near the security zone with your gun.
Mm.
Walk up to the check-in and say, look at the person's name and say, I wish to declare my firearm. And I mean it. You say it just like,
yes,
I wish to declare. And they say, okay, they'll give you the form. They'll send you to a separate little place where it gets checked out. You've made your declaration. You have it. You've now obeyed federal law. Then it's put, when it's then put into whatever, your luggage case, or whatever they're going to do, right? No markings can be put on the outside of the bag declaring it's a firearm. Believe it or not, the Brady Act had a provision that said they cannot mark containers containing firearms. And sometimes, if anyone tries to do that, that's a violation of the Brady because it leaves to theft potential. So
yeah,
it has to be unmarked.
Instead of saying firearm, just put steal me on it.
But yeah. They do sometimes put tags that require special handling, and one might guess, but it doesn't mean it's a gun. There are a lot of things that could use special handling. Now, what I found fascinating is there's an entire website called Flying with Guns where the individuals particularly fly with guns, but they don't give two craps about guns. The reason they fly with guns is they fly with guns because they have, for example, musical instruments, photography equipment, and they get special care and treatment because it has a firearm there, so it gets extra security, and they purposely do this to gain the extra security that comes with flying with a gun. And check it, you know, check out Flying with Guns on the web. You'll see they have entire things dedicated to all the techniques for doing that.
So if you've got an antique Fender bass and you want to protect that, you throw a gun in with the bass.
That's right. And that's what they do. That's how they do it, yeah. So flying with guns, yeah.
I wonder if Pelican makes a case for that.
Don't forget to declare your firearm, Kurt. You don't check it.
Now, would you declare it to the guy outside? Or would you go inside?
No, go inside. Go to the main thing because they're going to send you where to check it with the guy outside. But other tip, important tip. Now, this may sound like a big dub, but I've had cases. Let me tell you the tip. Never let your gun get into that secured area where the metal detector, the puffer, all that.
Yeah.
Never get in that line with your gun. Now, people are like, well, of course not. Why would I do that? Duh. Well, I'll tell you, I had one where a guy was running late. He went up to the desk. He said, I have my gun. The girl didn't even know. He said, well, let me get you through. Takes his bag, runs him through, pushes the bag into security. He's like, oh, no. Guess who missed his flight that day?
Yeah.
Had another guy. He's like, I won't bring it. He has his dog. And in his dog, his hunting dog, he's going hunting. He takes his shotgun broken down in a gun case, puts it in the dog kennel with the dog. There's his gun in the gate. He didn't realize they put the dog through the security zone. Guess who else missed their flight that day? Do not, under any circumstances, ever allow your firearm into that security zone.
And it can happen because now all of a sudden, now what happens if the, that you said locked, right? What happens if they say that you have to have this, someone has to inspect it, someone from TSA?
And what's nice, what's really good is what I've used effectively is they sell the metal cases that have a cable wire.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then what you do is you unlock and transfer. And then when you get to your, like wherever you're going, you got an instant gun safe that you can wrap around, you know, the seat of your car, on your rental car. So you can secure your firearm.
The frame of the bed in the hotel.
Right, or whatever. All right, perfect. So it's a gun safe and it's a travel.
And a travel case.
And make sure, with ammo, very important, do not bring some Ziploc bag full of ammo.
Yeah.
Ammo has to be in the original carton or, you know, those plastic containers where it's individual round.
Like a rear reloader.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Those are okay. But you can't just say, oh, yeah, here's my bag of 380 ammo. Yeah. And they don't want it loose. No loose ammo. It's got to be original or that. And make sure you always declare it and contact the airline in advance for their – they may have special procedures. And if you're going overseas, it can get even real – much trickier.
Now, should that ammo be in a separate suitcase or can it be in the same suitcase that you put in?
I have it in the same suitcase but not in the container where the gun is. The gun is just the gun.
Okay.
The ammo is separate. Yeah.
I've been talking about this for 4 years now, and it's come up again. Evan, we'll be ending the show. You talk about this. What's up with this national reciprocity bill that's reared up again? Let's talk a little bit about it.
All right. I'm going to give you...
For all of our listeners worldwide that listen, national reciprocity, go ahead.
All right. First of all, it's very important for New Jersey because this will be part of the death knell to New Jersey's gun laws. Because when national reciprocity passes, everybody in the country can carry in New Jersey except New Jersey citizens. And that's not going to last real long.
Equal protection.
All kinds. And furthermore, there may even be other, I'm sure there'll be plenty of New Jersey folks that are going to move out of New Jersey and get themselves a residency where they can carry in New Jersey. And there's all kind. And the fact is, look, our New Jersey legislature is never, when was the last time they did anything to help gun owners to reform the gun laws, to do anything logical? Never. I don't even remember. That didn't happen. Never happened. So what's going to change this state? What's going to finally change this state? Federal preemptive law.
Correct.
That kicks this state's ass.
Correct.
All right. What's in the works now federally? Well, I'm going to tell you, it's a little deeper than you may know. There is federal reciprocity, mandating that states honor carry licenses from other states. We all have heard about that. It's going forward. But you know what else is out there? A really tweaked up FOPA bill, putting FOPA on steroids and adding all kinds of enforcement and giving FOPA teeth, where if it's violated, you get to sue, you get money, you get attorney's fees. If you win your criminal case because you were exempt on FOPA, the government has to pay your criminal attorney defense fees.
Whoa,
I mean, that's really rare, right?
Yeah.
I mean, all kinds of stuff to make it where you can sue them and make the money, and the government's going to finally have a consequence if they try to ignore or abuse FOPA. But you know what's interesting? If the laws pass as written, the FOPA bill actually enhances the teeth section that if national reciprocity passes as well, well, that also can seek the same teeth because it's all going to go in the same section.
Oh.
So it has a double whammy there, which is really awesome. Then you add into that the sportsman's rights bill that's pushed as mm-hmm. well. So you got three major pro-gun efforts with national reciprocity as one of the major goals NRA's had. You have the bills being filed right now in the Senate by Cornyn and in the House. Cornyn. And it's all filed, and they're in. Now, why are they doing that now? And I'll tell you my prediction. I'll go on the record right now. I predict by approximately September, we will have national reciprocity and FOPA and sportsmen's rights. And you say, why? The reason is September is when the big must-pass appropriations bill comes up. The one that got punted last time for a certain amount of time.
Right.
This is the one that if it doesn't get signed, the government shuts down, la-da-da-da-da. All right. Well, you're going to see these bills attached to that bill, which is the way we've gotten half a dozen other bills signed by the occupier-in-chief.
Right.
This September, that's the time for, let's say, delayed a little, but thereabouts, that's when you're going to see it. And it's going to be great because we can over... The only reason national reciprocity hasn't passed before was we lost by two votes in the Senate on cloture. We couldn't get the 60. We only got 58. We had a majority, but cloture... Remember, is the procedure in lieu of filibuster.
Right.
So you need 60. Well, now that we've had the sweep, we've got well over 60 to beat cloture in the Senate. We probably have a veto-proof majority in the House. Both bills will pass, get attached to must-sign appropriations, and then we will see the beginning of the end to New Jersey's bullshit.
Wouldn't
telling
that
you,
be nice?
It's coming.
That's right. It's coming like
a freight
train. I've
been telling people it's coming.
Coming, and you'll see it. My guess is September all goes well. I'm psyched. And at that point, New Jersey's going to have a reckoning because it's just... As a matter of fact, that bill is so interesting. It actually says if you come from a state where there's no license but you're allowed to carry, by virtue of your residency of that state, you're good. That would mean anybody from Vermont with no license can carry in New Jersey, when a New Jersey citizen will not be able to get a New Jersey carry license.
I love it.
That's great.
See what I mean?
Evan, you are the man.
This is how to work it, dude.
Ladies and gentlemen, the next Evan Knappen seminar is Friday, May 8th at the Woodland Park Range. Friday, May 8th.
You need to go if you want to understand all the loopholes and all the fun stuff.
You want to try to stay out of jail in New Jersey.
2 weeks after Evan Knappen, Masad Ayoub will be here from May 28th. All the way out until June 2nd, teaching Mag 20 and Mag 40 if you're interested. We have a big rig test drive coming up, a shotgun test drive, a whole slew of clinics, and new classes coming up. I just want to tell Evan, thank you so much for doing everything you do for us in the state of New Jersey. Knappen did a great thing for me personally. We'll be discussing it in a few months. Can't talk about it now.
I enjoyed it as much as you.
Thank you. Thank you. National reciprocity in the FOPA bill. Check it out. We'll be reporting more on it next week. Evan, anything you want to say to close it up?
No, man. Just stay vigilant. That's all we got to do.
I have
stay
a question.
Yes.
What the hell is going on in New Hampshire with this carry?
We just passed in Senate.
Oh.
The constitutional carry. Passed
good.
The Senate.
Excellent.
Going to the House. Hopefully we'll make it so that just merely being a New Hampshire resident under national reciprocity gives you the ability
to carry
in
New Jersey
throughout the entire country.
Wow.
Remember,
That's right.
It's almost like what the Constitution meant to happen.
Almost.
It's scary.
Yeah, it's scary.
Yeah.
What is going on? Blood in the streets. Well, you've done it again. You've wasted yet another perfectly good hour listening to Gun for Hire Radio. Gun for Hire Radio is a CounterThink Media production. The music used in this broadcast was managed by Cosmo Music, LLC, New York, New York, under license of Broadcast Music Incorporated. I'm Sandy Barani. On behalf of my co-host, Master Trainer Anthony Calandro, the great one, Evan Knappen, and the rest of the crew here at Gun for Hire Radio, we do thank you so much for listening. Say goodbye, Winston. We'll see you next week. From sea to the shine.